Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm doing well today, buddy. Having a better day that way today.
That's good. That's very good to hear. Now, I know they're meeting tomorrow on the topic of a lottery, which is strange to me. I think it's the biggest waste of time. However, today it came out a rule that Tim Murray presented, Ryan, as far as counting how long, basically three in the trapezoid for defensemen behind the net. Is this really an issue?
I don't know. I mean, I read a little bit about it. I didn't hear Tim talking about that. We were over grabbing a couple of other guys. I think they're blue skying at this point, right? They're in there. They go into these little breakoff groups, and they all sit and chat, and no idea is too silly to throw out there. And so they just start throwing ideas out. Maybe that's something that was thrown out there. But I mean, I think from a goal-scoring standpoint and trying to find ways to improve goal-scoring, I think that the goaltending equipment is where it's going to start, and no other significant changes will be made until that is implemented next season and the true effects of it have some time to be known and felt. I think that all other discussion about potential changes to increase goal scoring will basically, I mean, it'll take ideas, but I think at this point it's going to be all about the goaltending equipment. And I think everything else is just ideas that are being thrown out there. I don't think we're going to see any other changes with regard to, you know, adjustments or tweaks to try and increase goal scoring.
Well, the streamlined goal equipment, and we've talked to Kevin Woodley about this, so, and the only way it could come in for next season, if the goalies had it in their hands by April, May, or June, so they can train and practice with it in the summertime, and by the sounds of it, that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Like it's happened. Kay's been working hard with the manufacturers. And kind of, you know, they've been talking about this for a few years, but in chatting with Kay today, you really get the sense that he's been empowered by all of the main parties to get on, to really get on board and get this done now. Before it was like, you know, maybe some managers wanted it, but the goalies certainly didn't. Some of the teams didn't. Everybody finally is getting on board saying, okay, enough's enough, figure out how to make this workable and do it. And that's what he's been doing last year. And they've come up with a way that they think is going to make a significant difference. And it's going to be, you know, kind of akin to, you know, like you can tailor a person for a suit. So in similar fashion, you would tailor them for hockey gear, and there would be standards based on the size of the person. And they're going to streamline a lot of extraneous material that's part of goaltending equipment right now. And so he's been working on this. They're going to get it into people's hands as quick as possible. Goaltenders are going to need lots of time to break this stuff in and get used to it. I wonder about things like the World Cup, what kind of equipment goaltenders are going to be using for an event like that. That's right before the season starts. And are they going to want to be in that gear and getting used to it at that point? So it'll be quick. Like, it's happening. And they believe it'll make a difference.
I don't. When I watched that video from Corey Hirsch and how much smaller it looked, and I know that some of those suggestions that he made aren't going to come into play, but streamline an inch or two here when you've got sharpshooters in the National Hockey League, that can make a world of difference, because there's a lot of saves that goalies are they're just hitting them because they're good positionally, not because they're reacting to the shot.
Yeah, well, a lot of, in talking to Katie today, some of the biggest noticeable differences are, like, when a guy drops down onto his pads, the shoulders don't pop up, right? You don't have the shoulder pads popping up to just basically, you know, create space. Like, it'll be tighter to the body. And, you know, on the glove, for example, you know, areas where they just, you know, where there's just things that have been built into to trappers late in previous years, it's just basically taken up space. Those will be gone. If the purpose of it isn't to wrap around and secure it to the body, then it's just not needed. So it's a tricky balance that they've had to work, because goaltenders obviously are probably, it's not easy, and you need to protect them. You need to allow them to feel safe. You need these companies with great technology to be able to protect these players who take 100-mile-an-hour slap shots at them. But anything extraneous, they need to get rid of. And that's what he's worked really hard on doing. And I think it'll make it sounds like, you know, you look at the models and what Corey Hirsch did, that was a great presentation. It's a pretty appreciable difference when you're staring at the actual goalie from the front. And as a shooter, the shooters are just going to see more net.
Well, yeah, which is great. And that should give them confidence. I think it's better for everybody involved. And, you know, the days of maybe 2.00 goals against are gone, which is great, because I'm not sure goalies are as good as their numbers suggest based on other years. I think they've allowed the equipment to stretch out, no doubt.
Sorry, just one more point on that. And one of the other things that a number of managers talked about today was that it'll probably create some legitimate separation between the best goalies in the world and everybody else. There already is a little bit, but maybe even more, that the most athletic guys, the guys who are truly the best goaltenders, there'll be more separation between them and the rest of the pack, and maybe some guys who are getting by on being big guys with huge equipment. There'll be separation between the true elite and everybody else.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us from Florida. Anything else on the table that intrigues you?
No, I mean, we dealt with, you know, they dealt with Rule 48 a little bit today. It doesn't sound like they're going to change much there. I don't know. They're, like I said, what's really on the table versus what are just ideas that are being discussed or thrown around? Not particularly. I think that there's some talk about not allowing the puck to be iced on penalty kills. And I think there's a little bit of a push for that from some. I think Stan Bowman is in the mix for leading that charge. Mark Bergevin, I think, is somewhat interested in that idea. I don't like the idea. I think that it'll slow the game down. I think we'll have five or six icings every single power play, and that just slows the game down and makes it painful. So I don't like the sounds of that. I mean, if you wanted to, maybe, I don't know, and this is an idea I've thrown out once or twice, but penalize them if they're going to fire it down the ice too many times on a penalty kill. So maybe you got to pick their spots. Maybe you only get two, and a third icing on a power on a penalty kill results in a 2 minute or a delay a game penalty. Like, who knows? But there is a little bit of traction for the idea of finding a way to penalize teams more for taking penalties and not allow them the advantage of being able to fire the puck all the way down the ice. So there was a little bit of talk of that today. I had a chat with Doug Armstrong about this whole idea of the draft lottery and just, he's really leading the charge there. He doesn't think a team should be able to win 2 years in a row from the 28th or 29th position. So they will discuss that a little bit tomorrow. And then the expansion draft and the rules that will come into play for the expansion draft, they need to get those clarified. And I think that'll be a big part of what's discussed tomorrow.
So if you finish 30th, you can win 2 years in a row, but not if you finish 29th?
Yeah. So the example would be, let's say you finish 30th this year, or no, let's say you finish 29th this year and you win the draft lottery and you pick first overall. The following year, the only way you'd be eligible to win the draft lottery is by finishing 30th. Anything other than 30th place, and you don't even have a chance at picking number one. So you can't pick number one 2 years in a row, unless in that second year you finish in 30th place.
Okay, my question to Doug would be, does he realize that no team's ever won the lottery 2 years in a row?
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, look, these meetings are funny. Like you've got general managers that have been around for a while, and if something's bugging them, they push and push and push and get it put on the agenda. Like Jarmo Kekalainen is the one who put the Rule 48 and wanting to re-examine that and take a look at the way it's being called and all that. And he came out today and admitted, I mean, he pushed the agenda. He's a relatively new GM, but he pushed the agenda. It got on there, and he came out and admitted it absolutely got crushed. He went into a small group, and he got absolutely crushed, and it's going nowhere. It's not changing. So sometimes, you know, general managers with some tenure can get things on the agenda if it's bugging them. But the group usually tends to override the want of one or two guys. Very few GMs have the pull if they don't have enough guys on board to push something through. So maybe this is one of those things where it's bugging somebody and it landed on the agenda, but nothing really will happen. We'll wait and see tomorrow.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. So tomorrow they have the lottery on. Anything else?
No, I think the three main ones are the draft lottery, might talk a little bit about the one we just talked about with Army, and I think those will kind of be the main ones. Tomorrow is the lightest of the 3 days, right? Like, they usually go fairly light on day one, and they go hard on day two, and they dig through a whole bunch of their agenda on day two, and then day three, it's funny because guys are just trying to get the heck out of town. So So they start at like 8:30 or so, 8 o'clock, and then they're out of there at like 10 o'clock. They tend to blast out of there pretty quickly. So the draft lottery, the expansion draft scenario, and then a salary cap projection for next year, I think will be all little tidbits of news tomorrow.
Did you ask the GMs you spoke to, Ryan, which of the three potential Oilers you think has the most interest?
Which of the three potential Oilers? How do you mean?
Well, the three $6 million guys who everybody's talked about being dealt.
Yeah, no, we don't get into a lot of trade talk at this meeting in particular. I think Taylor Hall would probably have the most interest, followed by Nugent Hopkins, followed by Jordan Eberle. I think just in terms of value, that would probably be a fair way to put it. But lots of talk. It's funny being an Edmonton media guy. You get out here with some of the national media or people from other cities, and it's all the talk is about the Oilers moving one of their forwards and the fact that it's going to happen and who they're going to get, what's it going to look like, which guy's it going to be. Everybody is talking about Peter Chiarelli and the maneuvering he's got to get done, things we've been talking about for a long, long time. But I think it almost feels to me like the foregone conclusion is it's going to be Nugent Hopkins. That's the sentiment from others when they talk to me about it. We've been talking about Nugent Hopkins as the most likely one for a while now, but all depends on that draft lottery, man, because if they win that draft lottery and all of a sudden Austin Matthews is coming to town, that changes everything and allows them to rethink things on a bunch of different levels.
Shogger, we will chat with you tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully the lottery thing gets smacked down as quick as revising Rule 48 did, because it is an absolute waste of time and is not anything they should be looking at.
Well, we'll see what kind of pull Doug Armstrong has in the room, I guess.
Well, ask them about the value of the number one overall pick, Ryan. It is not nearly as valuable as people think it is when you look at the history of the game.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. We'll talk tomorrow, buddy.